Grace to you and peace from the one who was and is to come. Amen. Today's lessons fit together very well because we have two accounts of the healing of people who have leprosy. Our understanding of this term leprosy has undergone a transformation over the past few decades. It was thought to be what is called Hansen's disease by the medical community. But as we have studied the ancient texts, however, we have discovered that the word leprosy is used for lots of different skin diseases. In fact, it's used for other kinds of situations as well. It could be ringworm, it could be psoriasis, it could be Hansen's disease. And things as well in the scriptures get leprosy too. I don't know if you knew that, but walls can get leprosy. And clothes and bread, leather, anything that can get moldy or has dry rot, mildew, or even discoloration might be said to have leprosy. Hence, leprosy could often be taken care of with a cleansing of some kind. And we see that the scripture has caught that too in the terminology and the ideas of clean and unclean regarding leprosy. While the healing of people with Hansen's disease was nearly impossible, the healing of leprosy as identified in the scriptures was not quite as difficult to manage. If you want to see the law, the regulations that Jesus was talking about, turn to Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. And when you do, you will see that we no longer follow the practices there because they are not only impractical, but also unnecessary, particularly for people of grace. We are told in our scriptures the regulation of the past have been fulfilled by the gift of God's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. These particular Levitical laws are no longer necessary for us to follow. We have been approved by God and taught. So it is that Naaman, the Syrian commander, misunderstands the power of God's word. He supposes that there has to be some big fancy ceremony and a proper prayer for healing to take place. Instead, Elisha the prophet doesn't even come out to meet with the commander, but sends his servant instead, who tells Naaman to go jump in the river, well, to dip himself 7 times. Naaman is incensed. And I've seen the River Jordan. Here it is. Doesn't that look like something that you'd want to wash in? I wouldn't want to jump into that algae-laden river any more than Naaman did. Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, are truly much more clean and fresh than the mucky Jordan. But Elisha knows the power of God's word is stronger than spells and incantations and magic words. So he has sent his instruction and knows it is enough for Naaman to follow the instruction and wash himself. Naaman's wise servant reminds him that he would have done any great deed, Elisha asked. But today the deed requested is simply to follow a command. The haughty commander has to learn what it means to practice humility. And the proud, overbearing military commander becomes willing and compliant as he attends to Elisha's expertise. The gospel account is also about cleansing of people with leprous diseases. In the gospel, however, there are 10 lepers to be cleansed. All 10 will follow Jesus' instruction, and in the process, they will be made clean. One of them, only one of them, realizes what has happened and returns to offer praise to God and thanks to Jesus. And notice how he prostrated himself for Jesus. That is something that people do to deity in those days. Jesus is not so much interested that he is taking the time to thank him, but that he's come to faith through this experience, this cleansing healing. The commendation is not for his actions or his words, but for his change of heart. The foreigner has come to know the depth of God's grace and mercy. He has come to believe in Jesus. We may not have leprous diseases, but we too need compassion, the compassion of grace and grace of God in our lives. Romans tells us that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need of forgiveness. We are all in need of the humility in our lives so that we might know and appreciate what God has done for us. It is becoming acceptable to act self-assured in our world today without regard for others in this world. Part of that is due to the political climate we live in. But there are other forces at work as well that tend us in this direction. Jesus and the scriptures, however, instruct us in the virtues of humility and unpretentiousness. Jesus reminds us the meek will inherit the earth. Today, the foreign commander and the foreign Samaritan show us the true path of discipleship and faith. It is the outsiders in today's scriptures who remind us insiders how we should act and what we should be doing. It is the new folks who have shown us again what are the riches of our faith. Amen. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Amen. I invite you to rise as we sing our sermon hymn.